New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench. 844-843-6879 is the number. So, Tom Brady won his 7th Super Bowl and 5th MVP. And I don't really want to rehash, to be honest with you, the Super Bowl, because I thought it was so awful. Now, I won't deny that the Buccaneers played great, and they're champs. They deserve it. They look phenomenal. I thought their defense was sickening. They played great. They looked fantastic the last, several weeks. What would they win, 7 in a row, something like that? To beat Breeze, Rodgers, and Mahomes is something else. Todd Bowles should be commended. But the thing that bothered me about it was the whole Brady-Matthew thing. I thought the Badger, whatever you want to call him, Tyrann Mathieu, he's a great player, right? He picked off that ball. The call reversed the pick. I think that could have changed the game. I thought the call against him in the end zone on Evans was terrible. I thought the call on Evans' bomb, literally I felt like that was just a natural trip on each other running for a bomb. And they called it a intentional pass interference. That's what that call is. A lot of times when guys trip on each other, they don't call anything. And then especially when the ball is uncatchable, I think that ball was 5 yards past him. And I thought the pass in the end zone was closer to the goalpost than it was the receiver. So he wasn't catching that either. I thought the refs sucked. Without a doubt. But, like I said today on Coast to Coast, the offside on the field goal, that's just stupidity. That's as bad as it gets to give them the first down, then they go down and score. That was embarrassing. And then they just couldn't stop them. Gronk twice, Brown, Fournette ran it in untouched. I mean, how easy could it be? The guy ran like as if nobody was on the field. But here's the deal. The thing that bothered me the most about the whole thing was today, hearing that Tom Brady apologized to Tyrann Mathieu about their multiple run-ins in that game last night in Tampa. Now, did you see this guy Winfield? Did he apologize for being a D to Hill? Just gave him a complete facial right in front of his face. He stuck the fingers up and said, "Who you to you? Screw you. You did it to me in Tampa earlier in the season. Here I am. You remember me?" And then when the game was over, he went in and did the presser afterwards and was like, "Screw him." He had it coming, and it was awesome. And I do it again, and I'm not sorry. And I'm not taking it back, and I'm not doing anything. So kiss my ass. Right? Now this guy, Brady. Are you kidding me? He sends him a love letter today? We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline USA, and Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell on a bench on Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us. I'm Pharrell with Carver High tonight. So I don't understand apologizing to someone when you're playing in a game, any game. I don't care if it's a rec league game. I don't care if it's the Super Bowl. I don't care if it's a regular season game, playoff game, whatever. When you spend the entire game talking shack to another guy on another team, and you guys are face-to-face, helmet-to-helmet, spitting on each other, talking shack, pointing fingers, insulting, because Matthew said he said something that was so bad he couldn't repeat it, and you all saw the guy run after him. I mean, Brady ran after Matthew on the field like a child, right? Like, it was... Now, it's so easy for everyone to just get on their knees for this guy. I get it. 7 Super Bowls, 5 MVPs. He can do no wrong ever. So everyone's so afraid to say anything bad about him. But you saw it. He chased after him to be the biggest D on the field. He was guilty as all hell of doing it. Matthew said something to him, and Brady wasn't having it. Fair enough. Fair enough. Brady's entitled to not take any crap from anybody. I get that. But did you see him, like, running after him? He literally chased him up the field and chased him toward his sideline to get in his face and say things to him. And then there were other moments in the game when he was yelling and cussing at him and saying other things. When he was on the sideline, he dropped a Pharrell him. Because you know he was talking about Matthew on the sideline when he was sitting on the bench, and he dropped the Pharrell him. If you didn't see it, then you're just tripping. If you didn't see him do that, you're tripping. Matthew goes over to the sideline. He's throwing helmets, screaming at coaches, screaming at teammates. He lost his mind over Tom Brady last night. Right? So when we come back, I'll elaborate on this, and we'll hear from Brady. It's Pharrell on a bench. So, Pharrell on a bench. I got to tell you, Carver High, you can't deny anything I've said, that, like, he was like an animal in that game last night with Tyrann Mathieu, arguing with him, getting in his face, helmet to helmet, cussing at him, pointing his fingers at him. They really hated each other in that game. Now, I'm totally cool with competitive fire. I'm cool with talking shack. I'm cool with, you know, saying whatever. I really don't, like, because I played ball with some jerks that talk and you never shut up and you want to punch them in the face and the whole deal. I've been more of a guy that I don't really get into fighting with other players and, you know, talking to other players or talking smack to other players when I'm playing. I don't get into the whole, like, I'm better than you and I'm going to light you up and all this. I really don't get into that. I will say that I've been known to be dirty. I don't hide from that fact that I've been chippy and dirty and, you know, I've slew-footed people. I've broken noses. I've smashed people in the face and their eyes. I've done everything. I've kneed people. I've kicked people. I've smashed people in the back of their legs, their calves, their Achilles, their knees. I mean, you want to get dirty with me? I'm the dirtiest dude in town. I won't deny that. And I've had massive problems with refs. I've been teched up 50,000 times, but I've never been one to talk smack of other players' games in a game. I just pretty much just chew my bubble gum and play. I don't get into the whole talking thing. I just play. But I will not – I'm just not letting people, you know, walk in and I, as I like to say, valet park. You're not valet parking in here. This is self-park. You come in here, you're going to get your car stolen. Someone's going to break your window. There's not going to be any shooting layups on my time. You come in here, you're going to get hit. That's how I play. But I got no problem with talking smack. I really don't. But most people that do it are D's, right? So the thing that bothered me, Carver High, is that the guy apologized to him today. Like, are you kidding me? What a wuss bag. I would no more. You know what I would do? I would say, I hope you die. Like, rot in hell. Screw you. I hope you die. Bye. Nice knowing you. See you later. Congratulations. You got a ring. I got one, too. Well, you got seven. Sorry. I got one. I mean, Matthew, he won a ring, so you can't say anything to him. Once you win a ring in sports, in pro sports, you're set. That's it. If you've won a championship of any level in the NFL or otherwise, NHL, whatever, you know, Carver High, once you win, no one can say anything to you. Even if you suck, like Le'Veon Bell now has a ring. Or no, he doesn't. He lost. I'm saying Brown got one. Brown never had anything. Now he's got one. Once you get one, no one can say anything to you. But Bell was going after one, right? He never plays. He sucked. He did nothing to help that team at all. But he would have got a ring. I heard today they're going to give Boogie a ring for being on the Lakers when he tore his Achilles. I'm like, are you kidding me? I would no more give that guy a ring than fly a kite. He did nothing on that team. So how do you feel about a guy, honestly, like, I don't care if it's Tom Brady either, apologizing to him. He sent him a text. I'm really sorry. Like, I don't know what he said, but the story broke today that he apologized to him. It was all over the place that he apologized. Told him how wonderful he is, what a great player he is. I'm sorry, the heat of the battle. That's so pathetic. What's next? His wife's going to start sending out text messages to people after games? Seriously, like, how cheesy is that, that he apologized to him? Like, you know what? The last person I want to hear from today after I get bent over and lose 31-9 in the Super Bowl is a text message from Tom Brady apologizing to me. I'd be like, can you just leave me alone? I want to go to the golf course or to the Caribbean. I'm going fishing. I'm going to go get laid. I got to do something, but I don't want to talk to you. Thanks. I hate your guts. Don't tell me they're friends after what I saw yesterday. That guy, Matthew, wanted to kill him.
No, it was gutless, honestly. That's what it was. Like, you did it. Who cares, man? You won. Like, going back, because he has to go back now, you know, and look through the night and give you the whole, you know, clean cut, TB12, Tom with the smile, you know, with the kids and Giselle and all that stuff. He's got to give you that homey feel to everything. But this is the same thing, Scotty, we talked about a month ago. Remember how happy we were that Alabama coach Nate Oates laid the hammer on Coach K for you know, and then what happened two days later? Well, you know, I called Mike and told him how much I respect him. Like, dude, you lost all the juice that we gave you. We gave you so much juice for what you did with Coach K, and then you turned around and apologized, and that's it. Like, now you got no juice anymore. Your juice is gone because you did that. And this is the same thing with Tom. Right. Like, he tried to be tough guy with Tyrann Mathieu, and then you know, whatever, he won the game. He's got the spoils, but then to come back today, and then, you know, text the guy, I'm sorry, like, please, it's gutless, and it's just trying to keep that squeaky clean TB12 image going. And let me tell you who else. You talk about the last person you want to hear from today. Here's another one. I'll give you this one. I don't know if you know this one or not. How about Mahomes' fiance going on social media and getting all bent out of shape because, you know, people were, you know, giving Mahomes a hard time with how he played last night. Sweetheart, all the entire world has done for 3 years is tell you and talk about on every show you can imagine how outstanding and how great Patrick Mahomes is, and deservedly so. One night, he has a bad game. It's the Super Bowl. He's, you know, people, you lose. I mean, that's it for her. She's like tweeting out like how disrespectful it was for people to say anything bad about Patrick. Like, yeah, sweetheart, calm down. Like, you're the last person I want to hear from. All the world has done is bow down to this guy for 3 years. He can take one night of criticism, and I know he can. He doesn't talk. He's from the Jeter school of, I lost, that's it. I'm not saying anything about it. But for the fiance to go out and, you know, talking on social media, leave him alone, you know, how dare you? Shut up, please. Shut up.
Here's the deal. Just so we're clear, no women, really, you can name them on one hand, that actually do that. Like, they go out and start talking after their beau plays in a, their boo, whatever you want to call them, that they play in a game, and then their wives go out and start talking about, you know, their performance or whatever else.
I wanted to make sure I was right about it. So yeah, she slammed ESPN. She did not appreciate ESPN's social media posts about Patrick Mahomes during the Chiefs' loss to the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl. She took to Twitter on February 7th to express that the account shared a screenshot that showed the quarterback appearing dejected in the fourth quarter. She said, "Cool, ESPN, love the support of a major sports platform for one of the best players in the league." And then she put like a, you know, an emoji with like a silly face on it, basically to say, how dare you do that? So just shut up, please. Go away.
Well, I think she's, this is just my guess because I don't know her. She's really young and she's, you know, she's getting married to him. She's all excited, pregnant, whatever else. She's emotional and she's defending her man and all this other stuff. My point is, that's fine. No one else does it. You don't see anyone else doing this, like, after games, like the wives and girlfriends. They, you know, they have reality shows for that, okay? So go get on a reality show, and you can talk about them all day. But in real life, in, like, Realityville, no wives and girlfriends do that. And that's just all there is to it. Bench. Always like hooking up with our buddy Aaron Torres out in Lipstick City at Fox Sports and the Aaron Torres podcast. Great dude. Let's bring him in and wax up. How you doing, Aaron?
Scotty, my man, what's going on? How are you?
Jesus, Carver High. How hot is he coming in? your boy's coming in all strong. Now, listen, let me ask you a question. We'll start off with... you know, the Lakers and Clippers, just for a second, they're losing right now, but there's tons of ball left in that game. No AD tonight. And then you saw the Jazz now have the better record in the West than the Lakers. Are they just going through the motions right now? Because, you know, no one on the face of the earth didn't think that they were going to go back to the NBA Finals and go for a back-to-back crown after what they did last year. Are you, and then the Clippers have been playing really good ball, but the Kings beat them on Sunday, whatever it was. Do you think that either team in LA cares about any of these regular season games at all, or are they just going through the motions?
First of all, am I coming in too loud, Scotty? Am I blowing out your headphones? What's the deal?
No, you're good now. So what happened was, is like earlier we had a guy on, and he came in like Mount Vesuvius, and it was so loud. Like, but that was his fault. And then you came in hot, and I wondered if it was just that kind of night. And so the minute I heard you,
I'm just
loud. I was like, geez, the other guy was loud too. Carver, I knew what I was talking about. You didn't, so I didn't want to catch you off guard. It's no big deal. It's just we had a little hot earlier entrant into the race.
I'm loud by nature, so, you know, whatever. So, anyway, to answer your question on the Lakers and the Clippers, man, listen, you know, and it's funny, I was talking to Carver High about this coming into the break, is that I don't know how geeked up anybody is to play anything right now. Like, I hate to say it, but it's kind of the truth. And so, like, I think you're the Lakers, like, specifically the Lakers, right? Like you're coming out of the bubble. You played until the middle of September, the end of September, early October, whatever it was. And 6 weeks later, you got to turn around and play another season. There's no fans. You're the NBA champs. You know, people kind of half gave you credit, but they have said, oh, you won in the bubble and you beat the four seed out of the East. So, you know, I think living out here in L.A., Lipstick City, as you like to call it, Scotty, I get the sense that this is the very vintage LeBron team that just, let's just get to the playoffs. We're the two seed. We're the three seed. It doesn't matter. This year, there might not be fans in the stands when it comes to, by the time we get to the playoffs, who knows what that's going to look like. Let's just get to the playoffs. We're the better team. We're going to be good. We made some moves in the offseason. I don't get the sense that the Lakers care that much. The Clippers a little bit more, maybe. But at the same time, they're kind of in the same boat of, it's title or bust for us. We kind of faded in the bubble. Let's get focused for the second half of the year. I don't get the sense that either team is you know, coming out with a huge chip on their shoulder this year.
Did you, when Stafford went to the Rams and they got him and then they, pulled the deal off, right? And I saw the odds today on their chances, and I think Carver Hyatt was like plus 1,200 or something. Do you think that with that defense and Matt Stafford, that team's actually going to go on a run next year? Or do you think that Herbert was so good that it's actually the other guy, the Chargers, that are going to be better than the Rams? Or do you think Stafford's going to take them to places they haven't been in a little while?
Yeah, it's really funny, Scotty. I host on Fox Sports Radio on Saturday night. That trade happened about 20 minutes before we went on air. With your boy Arnie Spanier, it was me and Arnie. I'm more of the, there's two camps on Stafford, right? It was Detroit's fault. The organization is a mess, this, that, the other thing. Whereas I'm kind of like, I watched enough Lions games to know, if you're a good enough quarterback, there have been teams that have come out of nowhere, had success, all that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying that he should have been Brady in Tampa this year, but I'm kind of the belief that Stafford's now in his early to mid-30s, and if he was that good, we would have seen it by now. And so I think what can be true is two things. I think he's an upgrade over Jared Goff. I've lived here the entire Jared Goff era. I never believed in him back, dating back to the Jeff Fisher, we're not effing going 7-9. Remember those days? Yeah, I remember those days. I've never believed in Jared Goff, and I think Matt Stafford is an upgrade. But I think when you look at the run that Tom Brady just went on, going through Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes in three straight games, and realizing that Matt Stafford's going to have to make kind of a pseudo-similar run to get to the Super Bowl, have to go through probably Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson in some capacity. I just don't think it's that big of an upgrade. I know the defense was phenomenal this year. I think he's better than Jared Goff, but I don't see him as like this franchise-changing guy that the franchise has this much higher of a ceiling with him as opposed to Jared Goff.
So you think that Aaron Torres with us, that they're actually making decisions like the ones they've made with Jalen Ramsey and everything else, and like the picks they've given up and the moves they've made, that they're actually endangering themselves for their near and immediate future, that they've like given up the farm to get a couple players, and that if they have any problems whatsoever, et cetera, injuries, what have you, that they'll find themselves naked and crippled?
It's a great question, Scotty. It's really funny you bring this up. I was just having this conversation with somebody, like literally yesterday, maybe to this afternoon, I can't remember, living here in L.A., and it's really funny, for people who don't know me or have kind of loosely heard me on you before, I do a ton of college sports stuff, and I go back to when UCLA had the opening with that eventually led to Mick Cronin being hired as the UCLA basketball coach. And what I always said was, I think L.A. actually has great sports fans. L.A. people criticize L.A. as not being a good sports town, and I actually disagree. The Dodgers lead the league in attendance, lead Major League Baseball in attendance every year. The Lakers, you can't get a ticket for under $500. The thing with L.A., though, there is so much competition for the entertainment dollar and disposable income and things like that. I don't think you can afford to go through a 2-3-4 year rebuild. And when I say you can't afford to, I mean both metaphorically and literally. It's kind of just always win now mode in LA. And you see that kind of this past week with the Dodgers trading for Trevor Bauer. They're coming off the first world championship in 30 plus years. And it's kind of like, okay, we don't have that much time to waste. We got to keep this thing rolling. And so when I look at the Rams stuff, I think Sean McVay and Les Snead kind of understand, like, hey, this is the market that we live in. To your point earlier, Scotty, we're not just competing with the Chargers for entertainment dollars here. We're competing with LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Mookie Betts, UCLA basketball, USC football. And if we don't put not only an entertaining product on the field, but a winning product, we are not going to get fans to that new multi-billion dollar stadium, and we're not going to get them there not only for one game, but for nine games if you include the preseason, and so, or I guess it would be 10 games with the preseason. So to your point, Scott, I do think they're basically sacrificing the future for the present, and I think this is going to be kind of the operating procedure going forward because – unfortunately, in LA, I just don't think you can be in, hey, this is a 4 or 5 year rebuild mode, or people are just going to check out.
And they got the Super Bowl there next year at SoFi, which is
incredible. We hanging
stadium.
Out or what?
Yeah, I'm gonna.
You come to Super Bowls anymore?
I mean, I will if we're not all dead by then with this pandemic. Like, I want to come. Like, let me ask you about Mick Cronin really quick. So. And then we'll break and we'll keep going because I want to talk about a lot of college teams. But, you know, today they got, you know, they were embedded with the Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, and UCLA was thrown in there as well. That none of them are ranked for the first time since 1961. And I said earlier that I wasn't even a fetus yet, which is remarkable because I'm double nickels now. And that's the only thing I've missed is the last time none of these blue bloods or whatever you want to call them were, ranked. And how far off is UCLA from making the tournament? Are they that bad? Like, because I thought they were decent.
Yeah, what I would say real quick is I think UCLA is actually in better shape than most of those teams. Kentucky is not going to make the tournament unless they win the SEC tournament. Duke is not going to make the tournament unless they win the ACC tournament. Michigan State is really struggling. UCLA was ranked just last week, and I thought it was kind of unfair to remove them from the rankings. They lost to a good USC team. They lost to a good USC team over the weekend without two front court players who were out with injuries. So UCLA is the one that I feel like is actually living up to kind of the historical billing. But to your point, Carolina, you know, we'll see if they can build momentum off the Duke thing. Kansas won tonight, but I don't have much faith in them in the bigger picture. And then Duke, Michigan State, and Kentucky are a complete mess. So UCLA is going to be fine. They might even be the best team in the Pac-12 right now. And I think they could probably make the deepest run. But, to me, I thought it was kind of nonsense that they dropped from the rankings. The other ones, though, and we'll talk about them after the break, are a complete mess right now.
Yeah, you know, I actually said the same thing today on Coast to Coast on the TV side. I'm like, UCLA is the closest to the tournament of any of those teams. You and I both know Kentucky's not winning that SEC tournament. Duke's not winning that ACC tournament. In fact, Kentucky's going to probably get their ass beat tomorrow night by Arkansas. We'll come back with Aaron Torres on the bench. All right, for all on the bench, we're talking to Aaron Torres of Fox Sports and the Aaron Torres podcast. So, like I said, Arkansas, I think, you know, I'm betting on them tomorrow to beat Kentucky. They can't beat anybody. And then Duke, that was no big deal. In fact, when they played North Carolina Saturday, I was picking my nose watching a movie. That's about how much I watched of North Carolina Duke. I had zero interest in it. I don't know what was worse, the option of watching North Carolina Duke or watching the second half of that crappy Super Bowl. So I just wanted no part of anyone. Let's talk reality. I'm watching Gonzaga right now playing BYU. It's like 36-23 or something like that. They opened up. It was 15-2. And I know how good Gonzaga is. So do you. I know how good Baylor is. So do you. They are head and shoulders, those two teams, above, frankly, everybody else. You know, I think Ohio State's really good. They won tonight in College Park, Aaron. But I still think if they played either one of those teams, they get their asses beat. And I think those other Big Ten teams, Illinois, all the ones, Iowa, if Indiana can beat Iowa twice in Iowa City and in Bloomington, then they're not for real. That, because Indiana sucks, and you know it. So are there only two good teams in college basketball legitimately, like, that anyone should really be afraid of?
It's a great question, man. You know, and it's funny because, you know, I tried to make the claim probably about 6-7 days ago that, you know, maybe Villanova, maybe Michigan was on that Gonzaga-Baylor level. And I had a buddy that coaches in the Big East say, dude, I would love for Villanova to be on that level, because if they were, that would make everything that we're doing that much more legitimate, but they're not that good. And sure enough, they lost to St. John's a few nights later, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And so to answer your question, yeah, man, I do think Baylor and Gonzaga are on a completely different level. I do wonder with Gonzaga, and it's a conversation that happens every single year, are they going to be at their sharpest coming into the NCAA tournament when they essentially have not been challenged for about 6 to 8 weeks in the WCC? And, you know, I don't know how much you followed this stuff, Scotty, but I can tell you definitively Gonzaga was trying to schedule a marquee out of conference game this weekend because they did not have a game on their schedule and they just couldn't find somebody with an open date. And obviously conferences got involved and all that kind of stuff. That's my only thing about Gonzaga, is can they keep the mental focus going into the, you know, middle of March? Baylor's the exact opposite. I think they're playing so many tough games. I think they're going to take a loss, but I think they're just going to be so much sharper. I think they're clearly the two best teams. I would say the third best team that I've seen is actually Michigan, which is on an incredible COVID pause. They don't haven't even had anybody test positive, but the campus is kind of overrun by COVID right now, so they haven't played in about 3 weeks. They'll come back this weekend. I would say at their best, Michigan is probably the third best team, but we haven't seen them in a month, so it's going to be tough to evaluate just where they are. But I would say it's Gonzaga, Baylor, and then unfortunately, probably for everybody, there's a pretty big gap between after them.
So I saw Missouri beat Alabama or whatever. It was a really good game, a three-point game. How good do you think, and I know I don't want to disrespect Missouri, but I think they're better in Columbia than they are when they pack their bags. I think Alabama has shown me a lot, and so has Texas. You know, they've been in some crazy games, and Texas Tech as well. I think Texas Tech, I think they're coached phenomenally, and I just think that there's something about that team that, you know, they're special. There's something about them. They can play anybody, anywhere, and I think they can give them a game. But really, I got to be honest with you. Like, when I watch Creighton lose at home and just sleepwalk through a loss at home that to Georgetown, and I took Georgetown in the points in that game, by the way. But when I saw them lose that game at home, I checked them off the list. You know, I'm not sure I think Oklahoma State could really win a huge game in a neutral location. They lost at Fog Allen. They win when they're in Stillwater. That's when they win. But is there any juice at all that you find from Alabama or Texas being and Texas Tech being able to hang with the heavies?
I think the team you brought up that you like the most is the one that I like most. That's Texas Tech. You know, they had just this bizarre, crazy loss to West Virginia the other day. They actually play West Virginia tomorrow in a rematch. But, I mean, you watched that game like I did, Scotty, and you know, they had a complete control of that game. But with Texas Tech, what I would say is I think they're a mentally tough team. And I think this year that's the thing that really stands out, is a lot of teams, because of COVID, start, stop, you know, you lose two or three in a row, you win two or... There's just, I don't think there's as many mentally tough teams, and this isn't like a, oh, millennials, they're soft, and like, I just think it's a weird year, and I think it's hard to maintain focus and, frankly, enthusiasm when your season is so up and down, start, stop, this and that. I think Creighton is a team that, as you said, is suffering from that right now. So I think Texas Tech is a team to me that feels like, yes, they're not in that conversation with Baylor and Gonzaga. They actually did lose to Baylor already once this year. But they are a team that I think they're mentally tough. They're fearless. They enjoy being on the court. They're not taking it for granted right now. And I think they're probably the best of that group. The one thing I would say about Bama really quick, first of all, Scotty, I'll give you a fun fact as far as the betting is concerned, because I know your audience loves that. I think Alabama right now, they're not shooting the ball as well as they did early, and Vegas has yet to adjust that. Last four games have gone under. Last three by 15-plus points they went under. I had the under in the Missouri game, and it hit pretty easily. So I think Alabama's going through a little bit of a midseason lull. I think Texas is kind of the opposite, where they had a start-stop COVID deal, and I think they're just getting their feet back. But I would say of those three teams you mentioned, I think Texas Tech has the most staying power.
You know, another team that I like that had, you know, a hell of a run, and then Texas Tech beat them, was Oklahoma. You know, they lost in Lubbock,
yeah,
but they lost by five. If they play that game in Norman, they win by five. Then they turned around and beat, you know, Iowa State. You go back to January, I mean – who didn't they beat? They beat Alabama. They beat Texas. They beat Kansas. They beat Kansas State. They beat TCU. The last time they had lost was like the 9th of January against Kansas, when Kansas, I guess, mattered. I think Lon Kruger's every bit as good a coach and tournament coach as anybody. I mean, he's wherever he's been, he's won. And he knows how to coach tournament teams. And, you know, like Mark Few does, and I think Drew's getting that reputation in Waco. I think Lon Kruger's dangerous. That's the last team I'd want to run into in the tournament.
Scotty, it's so interesting you say them. I agree 1,000%. And I know they were sloppy against Iowa State over the weekend, but when you play so many big games in a row, you're going to have a letdown. I'm 100% with you, and I think two things stand out. One, the great coaching that you mentioned, and I agree with everything that you said on that. And this is going to sound weird and counterintuitive. I think they had a couple guys that went out with COVID, and I think it helped that team in a weird way, because other guys were forced to step up. Other guys played bigger roles, and all of a sudden, guys that went from being the sixth, seventh man, eighth man, third, fourth guy off the bench, all of a sudden, they got thrown in the fire and played pretty well. And so, yes, is it going to be an adjustment getting everybody back and figuring out roles and all that stuff? Yeah, I think it is going to be. But I also think in the bigger picture, what's going to happen is they're going to have more depth. They're going to have more guys that they trust and that they can count on. They're a team that, yeah, I think you're 100% right, Scotty. Like, could I see them in a scenario where they're a 6 seed, a 5 seed, and, you know, they're the 5 seed in the same region as Ohio State, and Ohio State's the 1 seed, but Oklahoma's played everybody, and they're fearless, and they end up making an Elite Eight or a Sweet 16 or whatever? Absolutely. They are a team that I agree 100%. I think I've said it three times, 100%. But anyway, they're a team that I'm with you in that they, you know, they're a little bit off the radar, and maybe not as much as they were because they won against a couple of those ranked teams. But I think they can compete with just about anybody, and I weirdly think the COVID stuff may have helped them in the long run.
You know, BYU's within 9 of Gonzaga with under 40 seconds left in the first half. And actually, San Jose State getting 26.5 tonight is giving San Diego State a game at least. It's like 36-28 with 3 left in the first half. They were laying fat wood in that game as if they're going to blow them out. Meanwhile, San Jose State, I mean, they're not good or anything, but they score And they allow and they score about the same, you know, in the same ballpark as, frankly, what San Diego State does, believe it or not. I know San Diego State wins a lot more than San Jose State, but I'm watching that game as well, keeping an eye on it. You know, right now it's 11. If they're going to blow them out, I haven't seen signs of that yet. One last question. Do you think, Aaron Torres with his Fox Sports, do you think that the Big Ten is better than the Big 12?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think the Big Ten is a little bit deeper just by the virtue of having 14 teams as opposed to 10. But look, I mean, you know, they were talking about on the Kansas-Oklahoma State broadcast tonight, you know, if Oklahoma State is a tournament-eligible team and there's debate over the, whether they'll get in or not because of they technically have a ban, but the ban might not apply till next year. So it's a complicated story. But right now they're a tournament team. That's a team that would be the 7 seed in the Big Ten, Big 12 tournament, excuse me, and would be playing on the first day of the Big 12 tournament, assuming that we have a normal Big 12 tournament. And so I think when you look at that scenario, I think there's probably a little bit less dead weight at the bottom of the Big 12 than, say, the Big 10, where not only are you know, Northwestern's not good, they played well early, you know, whoever. I'm trying to think. Nebraska's terrible. Michigan State.
Yeah, Penn State.
Terrible. But I think, well, yeah, I was going to say, and I know you're going to agree with me on this, I think the middle of the Big Ten is starting to become a little soft too. Iowa, you mentioned, your Indiana Hoosiers. I'm rooting for Art, but I have thoughts that are maybe we'll talk about on a separate phone call off air. But, you know, I just think that the middle of that conference is starting to look a little bit soft. I think Ohio State, Michigan, and Illinois are starting to pull away from the pack.
They got Rutgers, Purdue, Wisconsin are all ranked. And I'm not, you know, that's because nobody else is good in college basketball. That's why they're ranked. I don't think Indiana should be ranked. But, you know, the two wins over Iowa in Iowa City and in Bloomington is probably going to get them into the NCAA tournament. When they beat Iowa the first time in Iowa City, they were number 4 and then number 8 on Sunday when they beat them on Super Bowl Sunday. So that probably gets them in unless they collapse. What I saw there was, you know, Iowa, if they're so good, which they aren't, and Garza's a badass, but if they can't beat Indiana, then they're not winning anything in the NCAA tournament. That's all you need to know. Aaron, great stuff as usual. I love you. Check out the Aaron Torres podcast and check out Aaron on Fox Sports Radio. Say hi to Arnie Spanier for me, buddy. It's been a minute since I've seen Arnie. Tell him I said hey.
Will do, Scotty. Thank you for having me, man. Genuinely appreciate it.
I love you. Aaron Torres in Lipstick City on a bench. So the Lakers are in trouble. No AD, and they're down 6 right now to the Thunder with 9 minutes left at Staples. The Hornets blew out the Rockets 119-94. Wizards beat the Bulls 105-101. I didn't see that coming. But once I saw Markkanen was out of the game with his 20, he's out 4 weeks at least now. And so without him in a lineup, they lose 20, and there you go. You lose the game. Raptors beat the Grizzlies 128-113. I hit that. I hit the Mavericks to win. T-Wolves to cover. That double hit there. And the Raptors same, 127-122 Mavs. Spurs 105-100 over the Warriors. They covered. Suns win. Cavs cover the 7. They lose by 6. And the Bucks blew out the Nuggets in Denver 125-112. I got that wrong. Do we have Tom Brady talking about he will not signify which Super Bowl was his favorite of the 7? Here we go.
I said last night, you know, every game, every year is different. You know, this year has been so, it's been incredible for me. It's just been incredible. So it's great. That's where I rank it. It's great. It's been a great year and incredibly, I mean, just fun. There's a lot of, you know, I think in a unique way, it was kind of like with the coronavirus situation and all the protocols, it was really like football for junkies, you know. There was not really a lot of other things to do other than show up to work and play football. There was, you know, normally there's a lot of things that go along with playing football. So if you love football, you know, this was the year to be a player in the NFL, because that's all it was. It was like football camp with all your buddies year round. So that was, I really enjoyed that part.
You could tell he was on a bender.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Different. He wasn't on a Carver High bender. He was on a screaming and yelling and laughing and talking bender all night. Never went to bed. He sounded like hell.
Some night for Tom.
Yeah, Islanders 2-0 over the Rangers. Jackknights 3-2 over the Canes. Oilers 3-1 over the Senators. Leafs 3-1 over the Canucks. Lightning 4-1 over the Predators. Coyotes in a shootout 4-3 over the Blues. There you go. And I'm watching this Gonzaga game. They're up 10 at the half on BYU. See you tomorrow at 4 on Coast to Coast. Good night.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.